Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And so how goes the Constitutional Republic today? Well, let's take a quick look, but before we do, this show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. It is also sponsored by 1798part2.org. And I'll give you a little understanding of that, what 1798 Part 2 means, if you're already not familiar. Most listeners are. They are fully aware that in 1798 is when the federal government first passed a law that was a strict violation of the Constitution. And because the framers were still active and involved, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson went to Kentucky and Virginia. Jefferson to Kentucky, Madison to Virginia. And they wrote the Kentucky and Virginia Resolution standing up to the federal violation of the Constitution and called for their other states. The problem was that they could not get the other states to join them. So the difference between 1798 Part 1 and 1798 Part 2 is I believe we will get the other states to join in. I believe that when you've got 20-some states that have sued to try to stop Obamacare and the handover of American wealth to the insurance companies, because, I mean, didn't we do that in 2008 and 2009 with the TARP bailout? So, to be clear, 1798 Part 2 is actually it's going to be a domain that will have resources for you for pledges for your candidates, and we're going to have different types of pledges out there. There'll be pledges for legislators, for sheriffs, and for local officials, as well as even governors. And so I'm not focused, and we shouldn't be focused on those seats in the federal government at this point in time. And I know that is contrary to everything that you have been taught, everything you've witnessed throughout your life, because we have always looked at D.C. for our solutions, and that has been our problem. And so 1798 Part 2 is getting us to focus back on the states, getting the states to do their job, and fixing our constitutional crisis. And that is why 1798part2.org has been created. RepublicReview.org is also a sponsor, and that actually will be serving as the interface for you to keep you abreast when they actually begin the auditing process. They will be able to take that domain over and be able to provide all sorts of details as to what they're doing through the audit process. You are listening to the only show that actually has a path back to our constitutional founding that will actually restore our constitutional or our hybrid constitutional republic back into the form that the framers had instilled. So the number to call in if you wish to, you know, engage or have a conversation, that number will be 215-867-8255. And again, in a different way, that is 215-TOP-TALK. I do have some interesting news and information, of course, film at 11, or probably just in a few minutes as we kind of quickly go through these things. But as you know, all my podcasts are out on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I would just recommend that you go out and get those, because the content that I have on these podcasts will help you understand, because I'm bridging information. It's kind of like reading a book. You can't just, you know, read War and Peace in one sitting. And so you can't just jump into the middle of it and understand what happened at the beginning. So it really does help you to read the entire book or listen to all the podcasts, because I cover a lot of the details of how we've been manipulated. I'm going to get into manipulation today. I'm going to get into, if you've got your tinfoil hats ready, if you want to wear them, that's fine. But there's no doubt in my mind that there have been very nefarious people that have been working to subjugate man, to subjugate all of us, not just, you know, those people in the flyover states, or not just those people on the border states. They are working to subjugate everybody. And the one thing that is stopping the whole shebang is the United States. Or maybe the one thing that they're kind of waiting for is the United States to fully embrace this. But we have been manipulated, and I'll get into that. So you can get my podcast, as I was saying, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. There are two different podcasts there. This is my KSBN, which is my local one. And then this one is the Red State Talk Radio, of course. So I also have on reclaimingtherepublic.org a pretty decent video presentation that you have probably heard about. Even though the show is growing, it's important that I kind of repeat this every once in a while, that if you go out and watch that presentation, just the first 30 minutes, you will get the details regarding the Constitution that you've probably never learned. If you feel that what I'm saying is a misrepresentation or contrary, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will pick it up. I will respond to you and hopefully help you understand what, how, and where I get my resources and information. And so anyway, it is out on YouTube, but the link on the Take Action page is where you can find that YouTube video. And so I just highly recommend you share that with all of your patriots, anybody who is interested in stopping this progress of evil and moving us towards a global government. If you haven't heard, I've actually created the crowdfunding. I just checked with the bank today. They still don't have the bank account ready. So I'm just trying to get all the ducks in a row before I really start campaigning and getting out there. Because bottom line, I want to make sure that I don't have to, you know, deal with an emergency. I'm just trying to make sure that I do this incrementally. So you're more than welcome to go look at it. You're even more than welcome to donate if you want. It is Reclaiming the Republic on GoFundMe, and I will have links to that on all of the sites so that's how you can donate if you want. The important thing is that I got to get this bank account set up. That way I can have full accounting for the money that comes in and how we spend that money. Because if you haven't heard my radio ads, I'm not looking to live a highfalutin lifestyle or live extravagantly at your expense. That may be your people that you're voting in. Remember, Aristotle said that the two causes of revolution is one, when the people can't eat, they will revolt. And two, when the people realize that those in public service are, you know, becoming rich or becoming opulent at their hard work and at their expense. And so I think we've kind of reached that. If you look at every single congressperson that goes in, they may be destitute, but they instantly become millionaires. And I'm thinking that most Americans don't think that that's a good thing. I myself personally, it all depends on how they make that money and what they do. I do not believe that they should be above the law and be able to have insider trading in stocks and those types of things. I do not believe that they should be, you know, receiving windfall contracts, whether that be from banking or what have you, being able to get funds from the government. That is absolute corruption. But if an individual is smart and they, you know, honestly make money, I'm okay with that. But I'm also okay with paying our, if you want to call them our sovereigns, because technically Congress and your state legislators are those who have the sovereignty of you, because they're your representative. They're there doing your bidding. And so they should be paid, as far as I'm concerned, at a decent wage so that they have less susceptibility to corruption. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't have avarice and greed and designs of making more money. But anyway, see how quickly I can digress? And I was just literally just talking about the crowdfunding and how I'm not in it for me. I'm just here to do this for us and for our posterity. I also do this, I guess, obligatory groveling. I just don't want to make sure I don't miss this. If you do want to help, if you live in a state that doesn't seem like I have a presence or I am there you know, apparent to you, then by all means, reach out. It's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And I would be happy to work with you in getting you ready. I've got a gentleman that stood up in Texas, and I've been trying to help him, get him kind of engaged and ready and working at, in all different levels. And I want to make sure that when we get these folks running, that they're firing on all cylinders. We want to make sure that they're not kind of limping along. We want to make sure that they're fully effective constitutional warriors, so that they can stand up with full authority and full conviction and poke people in the eye for saying, hey, you're violating the Constitution, and know that they're right. Anyway, if you have time, if you have resources, if you have a computer, a phone, then you can help engage in this process. By all means, just reach out to me, and I'll be happy to get you started. If you're willing to do work that you know, needs to get done. There's some people that don't want to do everything. It's like you hire somebody to do your windows, and they show up and they go, well, I really don't do windows. That happens. You know, it does happen. As a matter of fact, I hired a guy to come and work on my yard, and the first thing he told me is, I don't pull weeds. And so I go, okay, so what is it? You build rocket ships? anyway, I'm sorry. I digress in my own humor. And so we will be right back. As you can tell, we're at a heartbreak. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back, and I don't have my usual fill-ins, but if you want to call, the number is 215-867-8255. Or if I spelt that out for you, that'd be 215-TOP-TALK. And so it'd be nice if that would be 230 instead of 215, right? So I could just say 230, because I have a dentist that likes making 230 jokes. Anyway, again, it's poor humor behind the microphone. I want to get into these interviews that I have with the Wyoming governor candidates. And so I am looking forward to airing those. And that's actually going to begin tomorrow. I have a few things I still wanted to kind of clean up on these resolutions. I wanted to get all the way through the Virginia and hopefully the, or not the Virginia, the Kentucky and hopefully the Virginia resolutions by today. If not, if I can't get through them by tomorrow, then I might postpone airing these. But it's really important that I kind of set this stage because it's very important that you understand precisely what Madison and Jefferson were doing. I know I go through this and I want to provide blow by blow insights, editorializing, and so forth so that I can help clarify what these fine patriots were doing. Anyway, I looked out the window and I scanned the news today, and lo and behold, there is still no sign of the federal government reeling back any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. So therefore, we are still living under the full force of their tyranny. What does that mean? That means if we're going to end a tyranny, it is up to you and I. We have to reclaim the republic, and therefore, I need your help. Therefore, we will move forward. I will continue to educate, and I will continue to impart with you these facts on our founding so that we can get involved and we can do this intelligently and we can do this constitutionally and efficiently so that we don't have to languish for 5, 10, 15 years to get this constitutional republic back on track. I do have a question, and if you want to answer this question, or maybe you can just share your opinion on this. This is why I'm doing this, because I'm trying not to make it so that you have to speak, you know, and citing the Constitution, where you can find something, or what does this mean? I just want to ask, why is it important that we all should be reading our founding documents? Why is that important? And so if you've listened to the show, I kind of have talked about it before. Not a lot, but I have talked about why it is important. Therefore, let me kind of get into the news. When I scanned the news today, boy, there was... It just boggles my mind. You know how the media constantly portrays, you know, whites as being the only race that is racist. And there was this gentleman by the name of Rodolfo Rodriguez, who I guess was a 90-some-odd-year-old grandfather, and he was pummeled and beaten by a brick. Well, apparently, the assailant wasn't white, and I guess that's not going to make mainstream news because it doesn't fit the narrative. This speaks to the fact that they want to make sure they maintain a manipulative position in projecting white guilt and making sure that everybody looks at, you know, white Americans as the problem, when actually we were the ones that created the solution to the world. We were the ones that basically declared that all men were created equal, a precedent that hadn't been established for over 5,000 years. As mankind lived in the Dark Ages, literally, in societies, not necessarily with religion and so forth, but in societies where they accepted and embraced slavery as a normal part of life, that a person was, you know, relegated to slavery because that's all they were good for or what have you. Got to remember, most people, when you hear that word, they put a black connotation to that. You need to read Thomas Sowell's Black Rednecks and White Liberals, because right there he clarifies the origins of the term slave came from the word Slav, which speaks to the Russian culture. And so I will leave it at that with you to go and investigate on your own. That is an awesome book. It actually made me cry. And so I would highly recommend that you go ahead and go read that book if you're not reading mine already. Anyway, Trudeau, as Trump is engaging with NATO, Trudeau just wants to stir the pot and basically wants to be the contrarian to everything that Trump is trying to promote. And I can't believe Canada is really behind being the contrarian to America unless America is all on board with allowing itself to be subjugated at the expense of you, the American citizens. Because when Obama went on his apology tour and when he went out and subjugated America, giving away this and that, it seemed like the whole world was very gracious and going, oh, look at how good America has gotten. And now we're the bad guy because we're actually standing up for our own sovereignty and our own liberty. And so anyway, I can't believe that a lot of people in Canada really feel good about Trudeau being their leader and just being the contrarian to America. I also wanted to... Because this goes to the manipulation. And so if you read this article, there's this lady, BD, I'm going to mispronounce it because you know me, I'm bad with names, Jeshapi. She's 43 and she's the only surviving member. This is a quote from the AP. And she's the only surviving member of a far right group, the National Socialist Underground. Now, so there is an There's a conflict there. She's saying it's a far right group, but she's saying that it's a National Socialist Underground. So socialism is not the far right. Socialism is the far left. If you really look at the far right is really probably getting closer and closer to anarchy, where less and less government and less rules and regulations and so forth, because ideologically, the right is the side of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. The left is the side of subjugation. The Nationalist Socialist Underground has nothing to do with individual liberty and individual sovereignty. It has everything to do with subjugating all other classes except for one. It's a white supremacist organization. So I'm having a hard time understanding why we continue to let them dictate that type of narrative and not correct them and, you know, hold their feet to the fire. This is the Associated Press. This is our American mainstream media. And, we already are hurting them because they are becoming irrelevant just due to how many people watch them. They are hurting for viewership, listenership, and so forth. But anyway, I just thought it was important to point out how they're using, just in the news itself, how they're using manipulation and getting people to look and think of, that's the far right. The right is bad because they want separatists and they want, no, that's the far left. Regardless of the race, whether that be BLM, whether that be these Nazis or what have you, that's the far left. That's the socialist. Want government to dictate who has the advantage. Now, also in the news, I have a jurisdictional question. It seemed like Mayor Bill de Blasio went down to the border. What the heck is he doing inspecting the border? Is this a problem between him and New Jersey? No, this wasn't the New Jersey border. He went down to the Mexican border. And so apparently Customs and the U.S.-Mexican agents are basically saying that he violated the crossing of the border. And I think that's interesting. Maybe he ought to be tried in a federal court for illegally crossing the border. But the question is, what the heck is he doing? And there's only one reason why he's down there doing that, because he's entertaining and he's trying to put himself into a national spotlight to be the cheerleader, the champion for the left, so that maybe he can be the nominee for 2020. That's precisely what he's doing. This guy is a self-aggrandizing socialist, communist. There you go. Anyway, I also noticed that the news media keeps on using the hyphenated American and or demographic American. And I don't have time to get through this, so I'm going to get through this in the third segment. But this really has a lot to do with how they constantly point out the demographics, oh, this is going to be the very first black, or this is going to be the very first woman, instead of really highlighting the individual's merit, their character, and the reasons why they're qualified for a position of this type of leadership. Instead, it's like, oh, well, we finally got, you know, this demographic in there. You've got to be fair. No, as a matter of fact, I can proudly say I probably had the most, if you use the term diverse, by having a diverse demographics within a work environment. In my workspace, I had probably the most diverse demographics in my entire company. And I'll get into this when we get back, because it had nothing to do with any efforts of my own. And it had everything to do with the merits of those who I hired. And so we will be right back after a word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned, and I'll get more into this, and we'll get into these Kentucky, Virginia resolutions. We'll be right back. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I am back, and I'm going to get into this little story of demographics, because as I was building a team and as I had to maintain a team, I had to constantly put out requisitions to hire people. And it was never it had nothing to do with what the name looked like, what the person sounded like, or anything like that. It had everything to do with the qualifications on the resume and whether the person could talk to what they were doing. And so it just by happenstance, I was able to hire a very broad, diverse group of people, and we were able to create a very cohesive team, and we worked very well together. I mean, there's never a perfect environment. Every once in a while, somebody would say something and hurt somebody's feelings, possibly, but we never had real crisis, if you understand what I'm saying. We never had real problems. There were some problems, but it had nothing to do with the demographics of the work environment. Zero. But it seems like the news media constantly makes a point out of the demographics. And currently in the news, there's this potential of the first African-American woman that is going to become the mayor of San Francisco, because kind of like by default or what have you. The point is why is it that they keep on pointing out these first and these hurdles of demographics, Is it the hurdle that is most important, or is it the leadership of the individual that can, you know, can literally come and get behind the city or actually lead the city in the direction it needs to go? And so why is it that we allow ourselves to say that's a good thing when what we need are leaders to do jobs? We don't need people based on demographics, period. What we need are people that are qualified. And the reason this is kind of gets my blood boiling a little bit is when I talk to people, because I'm reaching into these different places, whether they be the Dakotas, Wyoming, Tennessee, Utah, Idaho, so forth. And as I start dealing with people and I ask, well, why don't you, you know, what's wrong with this person? I'm just asking a question. And then I get this, well, they're not one of us. And then all of a sudden I go, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're not white, male? I mean, are you getting into demographics? What? And they don't really answer. So I come back and say, so what you're telling me is that they're just possibly not a homegrown person, and that a homegrown person is going to do a better job in leading your government than anybody else. So what you're saying is if James Madison, who might still be alive today, and he moved to your state and moved into your county, and he said, you know what, I'm going to apply to run for county commissioner, whatever this position is, you're telling me that he wouldn't be qualified as a good leader because he's not one of you. Really? We have to stop getting caught into these biases and these paradigms. We literally have to start looking at the qualifications of the individual. Does that individual have what it takes to truly lead? And one of the best ways to really find the mark of the individual is who is backing them. If you've got all sorts of globalist union and that type of money coming in to getting behind somebody, then you do not have a leader. You have somebody that is being hired to manage an agenda. And that is very important, because the last thing anybody that wants to have a part in self-governance would want is for somebody to buy influence in your leader. Does that make sense? I'm hoping this makes sense, because this is really important, folks. You need to start really looking at who's behind and the qualifications and so forth. Is this really a leader, or is this a manager of an agenda? Because as I look through politics, even in my local space, and as I look at the national level, we've got a lot of managers that are on the dole, and we need to change that. That's why we're in this problem, and we're in this mire that we are, because it has been the globalists with machinations and designs in moving us in this direction, and they're buying our politicians to get us here, and that's how we've slid this far down. Granted, we've had some pretty bad people, as my conversation with Doug Gibbs yesterday pointed out, that John Marshall was really a bad person because he didn't like the way the government was laid out and wanted to invoke changes to it without following the Constitution, and nobody called him on it, and that is why we are in part of this mess that we have. So, that being what it is, I figured let me just kind of move forward here and state my usual comment that if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then surely we risk losing all of our battles. Our only defense in the political arena or the political fray is the Constitution, and the only weapon that will defeat those who want to subjugate us, and I call them our enemy, is the Constitution. So we really need to start using the Constitution, centering ourselves on the Constitution. I hate to say it. It used to bother me when I'd hear these people say stupid cliches. And, you know, the Constitution is the solution is kind of a stupid cliche. But I will tell you that within the Constitution and our founding documents, you will find everything necessary to beat those who have undermined our Constitution, as well as restore our constitutional republic back to what it needs to be. And so with that, as we move into the citations, your favorite part, I'm pretty sure, because I actually get some pretty good reviews. People do like the fact that I'm reading these documents. And I know we're all busy, but it's important that we hear these, if not read these for ourselves. And so I could tell you what these things say, but that has far less of an impact because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to hear it. I want you to read it because then you know exactly what it says. And it probably will align with everything I say, but now you're not taking my word for it. You have your own, let's just call it, you can testify to the veracity that this is exactly what this Kentucky resolution says as we get into that. So as I get into the citations, another thing I love doing are the words in our founding documents that I am citing, the words of deceit, or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive professors, our education indoctrination system, the lawyers and politicians. Are they giving us the words of deceit? That is the question. And so let me get into the fourth resolution. This is Jefferson again, and he says, "Resolved, the alien friends are under the jurisdiction and protection of the laws of the state wherein they are." Now, this is going to start poking some nationalists that think that immigration was literally designed at that point in time to be controlled by the federal government. The federal government is supposed to establish the standards, and so they do have that. And they have, it's not necessarily implied, it's actually spelled out that they have to establish a uniform standard of naturalization. So because they have that, they can actually start pulling into, hey, you know, we've got so many people moving in here because this is an enumerated power. We're doing this. I can grant them that. Okay. I'm okay with the federal government not making an assumption, but saying this is an enumerated power and creating an act based upon that enumerated power. That is not a usurpation. Creating the Department of Energy, Education, or Healthcare, that is a usurpation. So let me get into this. And he says that the protection of the laws of the United States wherein they are, that no power over them has been delegated to the United States, nor prohibited to the individual states. You got to understand the backstory of this, because there were French that were in America. There were all sorts of different people that weren't maybe necessarily immigrants, but they happened to be here because who fought the Revolutionary War? There were a lot of people. They did not have a natural standard or a uniform standard in what it took to become a United States citizen. They just had people coming. And so the federal government had not matured in this process over time as they have today. Okay, so we're looking at a glimpse of time where they passed a law about the friends of the aliens, or the alien friends and the alien enemies. And so let me go on. And he says, delegated to the United States, nor prohibited to the individual states, distinct from their power over citizens. And it being true as a general principle and one of the amendments to the Constitution, having also declared that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. The act of the Congress of the United States passed on the day of July 1798, entitled An Act Concerning Aliens, which assumes powers over alien friends not delegated by the Constitution, is not law, but is altogether void and of no force. So what Jefferson's really doing here, what this is important for you to understand, is that he's going through each of these things that they have done. This is the auditing process. He audited the Constitution, that clearly these things are what you have power to do. And what you're exercising to do, you do not have power. And so he's clearly auditing. And this is another paragraph of an audit where they do not have the power over the friends of aliens. But I'm at a hard break, so please stay tuned, and I will get into this in more detail when we get back. Thank you. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back. And one of the things I want to point out is, as you probably know, when are the sessions of states usually completed? When do they usually work? They usually work in the wintertime, starting in January, and they work a few months, and then they're out on break until the next January. Well, so this resolution came out in October of 1798. And so what Jefferson probably had to do is he probably had to go out and get some of these guys to come into session, because when you read through this, at the very end, he talks about, you know, that we're going to talk about this in this upcoming session. And so, and which they did, and they also ended up speaking to other states, and he talks about all of this. But the key thing, again, is what he's doing in this resolution is he's auditing both the acts and going into the detail of what they're doing and how they violate the Constitution. And he's basically saying that these things are illegal, they have no force, they're void, or what have you. And as a matter of fact, if you go through this, you'll notice at the end of each paragraph, each resolution, he's basically saying that these things are null or void, either in the body of this or at the very end. And just like in this particular case, he said, but is altogether void and of no force. The next paragraph, which is paragraph 5 or the fifth resolution, that he goes on and he ends that with the said provision of the Constitution and void. So let me read this. He says, resolve that in addition to the general principle, as well as the express declaration that powers not delegated are reserved, another and more special provision inserted in the Constitution from abundant caution has declared that the migration of importation of such persons as to the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to the year 1808, that this Commonwealth does admit the migration of alien friends described as the subject of the said concerning aliens, that a provision against prohibiting their migration is a provision against all acts equivalent thereto, or it would be nugatory that would remove them when migrated, is equivalent to prohibition of their migration and is therefore contrary to the said provision of the Constitution and void. So there is, it's void. He is auditing, and this is the beautiful part of this, because the 1808 clause was literally the clause that stopped the state's ability to import people. And the real genesis behind that was slavery. That is why there was this huge ruckus when they inserted that. And that's when Madison got upset and said, hey, we should stop this practice now. Who's going to be around in 1808 to remember that this little clause even exists in the Constitution? Well, Madison remembered because he was president at the time. But more importantly, if you look at what was covered in that importation, states actually had the power up until 1808 to be able to import people. And so it wasn't until after that where, and I, like I said, the federal government started maturing its process of controlling access in, access out, creating passports, and all of those things fit within those delegated powers. But at this point in time, they weren't, because there was this one particular clause that protected them. So in the sixth paragraph, he says, and this is a long one, but not as long as the longest one. He says, resolved that the imprisonment of a person under the protection of the laws of this commonwealth on his failure to obey the simple order of the president to depart out of the United States as is undertaken by said act entitled an act concerning aliens is contrary to the Constitution, one amendment to which has provided that no person shall be deprived of liberty without due process of law, and that another having provided that in all criminal prosecutions. So if you want to know who opened the can of worms, by the way, of saying that migrants that are here in immigration status. Now, there's a difference between migrants that were allowed in by the states than people that snuck in. And I'm sure that Jefferson would say that those people are not protected. Only those people that were under the umbrella of actual immigration or agreed immigration policies. Anyway, he goes on and says, with due process of the law, and that have and another having provided that in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to public trial by an impartial jury, to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. The same act undertaken to authorize the president to remove a person out of the United States who is under the protection of the law on his own suspicion, without accusation, without jury, without public trial, without confrontation of the witnesses against him, without heeding witnesses in his favor, without defense, without counsel, is contrary to the provision also of the Constitution, is therefore not law, but utterly void and of no force. So this is where he says this in the middle of the paragraph instead of at the end. But he also adds a little spin at the end as well. He goes on and says that transforming the power of judging any person who is under the protection of the laws from the court to the president of the United States is as undertaken by the same an same act concerning aliens is against the article of the Constitution, which provides that the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in the courts, the judges of which shall hold their offices during good behavior, and that said act is void for that reason. And is further to be noted that this transfer of judiciary power is to that magistrate of the general government who already possesses all the executive and a negative on all legislative powers. So what he's pointing out here, and this is pretty brilliant of him if you really think about it, is that he's pointing out that not only do these people who have been brought in or allowed in an immigration status have this due process protection, but he's also stating that you cannot remove the judicial process as a part of this due process, instead of allowing the magistrate or the president to, you know, who is the enforcer, to basically dictate, be the judge, trial, and jury of who's guilty and who isn't. That's why we have a judiciary. That's why we have inferior courts and so forth. And so this is a brilliant argument by Thomas Jefferson. And let me see if I've got time to get into these next paragraphs. Seven is pretty short, so I'll get into it. And resolved that the construction applied by the general government, as is evidenced by sundry of their proceedings, to those parts of the Constitution of the United States which delegate to Congress a power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imports, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States, or in the department of officer or officer thereof, goes to the destruction of all limits prescribed to their powers by the Constitution. That word's meant by the instrument to be subsidiary only to the execution of limited powers, ought not to be construed as themselves, and he's going over what they did in the ratification debates, not to be construed as themselves to give unlimited powers, nor a part to be so taken as to destroy the whole residue of the instrument, that the proceedings of the general government under color of these articles will be fit and necessary subject of revisal and correction at a time of greater tranquility, while those specified in the preceding resolutions call for immediate redress. This is just brilliant articulation by Jefferson. And when we get into Madison, his is even more eloquent and more veiled. But what he's really talking about is he's basically pointing out those actual powers that were given to Congress. And what they're trying to do is trying to apply that general clause, and as Madison articulated in the veto of the bonus bill, which I read just a couple of days ago. That's why you need to keep up with these things. As Madison pointed out, that general welfare, and even in the bounty, the cod fishery bounties, that general welfare had nothing to do with a general clause, that those defined powers afterwards would have been nullified, and therefore the point of defining those powers actually clarified what that general welfare was to be. It was to be the general welfare in these very specific powers, not some arbitrary thing that the federal government could choose and pick. Well, we're going to create a welfare program, an employment program, a healthcare program, a dental program, a babysitting program. They have no limits when they get outside of the enumerated powers, and that's exactly what Jefferson was pointing out. And he was literally doing it in the same manner and fashion that they did during the ratification debates. Well, as we've gotten through this part of it, we'll get through more of this tomorrow. It may have to push me back till Friday to get into the governor interviews, but we will. I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help, and I do need your help. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.